Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the Artist Marketing and Partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. And today, I have a little bit of a different co-host here with me, Kaiten Vance. Welcome, Kaiten.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here for the first time.
Of course. I can't believe that this is the first time. For those of you listening, Kaiten was kind of supposed to be on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but that fell through, so now you're hearing his voice for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah.
So today, what are we going to be talking about today, Kaiten?
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the hurdles when it comes to marketing, especially when it comes to the freelance artist's careers. So we want to talk about everything from social media, how you can start creating content in a meaningful way that's going to be beneficial for your career. But we're going to talk about the things that get in the way of doing that. Which I think you have highlighted here.
Yeah, absolutely. So me and Kaiten, we're going to give you guys a little more context on who Kaiten is in a minute. But, you know, we work with all of these artists. We're the marketing team for 50-some different artists here at Closer and Closer. So we hear a lot about, you know, why it is that artists hate marketing, why it is that artists sometimes struggle with their marketing. And I would say the biggest three reasons are, number one, anxiety. So like social media is not enjoyable anymore. All the changes cause a lot of anxiety in terms of, you know, not really knowing what you're doing. High taste level is the second one. So, you know, that classic artist perfectionism, feeling like everything needs to be at a certain level when, you know, that might not necessarily be the case. And the third one is lack of routine. So, you know, again, we'll get into it a little bit more, but that is another big heavy hitter that I see with our artists. And yeah, not only are we going to unpack these hurdles and kind of talk about why we think that they come up so much for artists and freelancers, but we also want to give you guys tips, tricks, and just like little shifts in mindset to help overcome them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't something that like we're just like, oh, why are we just random people just talking about these ideas? Like, you might be going like, who are we to talk about this at the end of the day? Obviously, we're not just a marketing team that supports 50 different illustrators, designers, and animators. But our job also is to market for the Closer and Closer as a company. And from an experience standpoint, I've been in the creative space now for over a decade. I had a film career, and I also have led marketing and branding teams in the past. This is something that I'm extremely passionate about. This is something that Andrea is extremely passionate about. We love seeing people succeed in this space, and we love seeing people tell their authentic stories in meaningful ways that are actually going to help them grow their careers ultimately. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And Kaiten, who are you now? Like, what is your role now? Why is it that you're here? Tell the people.
Yeah. So for those of you that are like, hey, who's this random dude on the podcast? I'm the brand new marketing and partnerships director with Closer and Closer. So now I get to work with Andrea and KJ every single day. I get to work with all the fantastic artists that are on the roster, but I get to work with also with the artist management team and Drew Milton, obviously, who founded Closer and Closer. So yeah, I'm trying to think of what else I want to say about myself that would be useful for somebody. What do you think I should share, Andrea, people that listen to this podcast?
Well, I guess it's great to know, too, that, like, not only, again, do you have visibility on these 50-plus artists, you know, you've spent all the last quarter talking to them and getting to know them from a marketing standpoint, which I think is super helpful context for this conversation, but you're also a creative yourself. I mean, you write really awesome stuff. You're always posting your stuff on social media. And I think something really important about you is that you do practice what you preach in terms of, you know, marketing and social media as a creative. I think that's also a really important perspective that you have. Because
I wasn't anticipating that, and I would disagree that you don't do that. because if you follow Closer and Closer on any of our social media channels, you'll definitely see Andrea there. True. Tearing it up in many different ways. You're fantastic at adopting the trends that are happening on these social platforms, but also making them valuable from a freelance artist perspective, giving people advice, helping them, similar to what we're going to be doing in this podcast, So I think at the end of the day, we're both really qualified for this.
I guess.
And
yes, you're right.
I really appreciate you setting me up that way. I was like, oh, yeah, that practice what you preach. I do try to do that. Yeah. But I it's not something that I have done consistently in my career, which is actually something that we're going to be talking about at the end, like the lack of routine. But building routines is something that is going to be really good for anybody that's looking to grow their career, whether you're like trying to become a mayor of a town or if you're trying to become the top illustrator in your field. So
I know we have a lot of mayors, hopeful mayors listening to the podcast. So I'm sure they'll appreciate that call out.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Great. Okay. So let's dive into it. I don't want to spend too much time, you know, hyping each other up. And I think today's topic is really important. So what is the first reason? And I think this is probably the biggest reason, honestly, and it goes into so many different things. I think this reason bleeds into like every other reason we ever get as to why artists don't do marketing. But what is that first reason, Caitlin? What's the first like big hurdle to marketing that we see?
Yeah, absolutely. It's after listening to everybody on the roster, but then also just online in general, it's quite clear that changes within the social media cause a lot of anxiety, especially when it comes to how much the platforms themselves change or how much just new platforms can disrupt old ones. If you're familiar with TikTok at all, if you're not, you've been living underneath a rock for the last 4 years. But TikTok has really changed the social media landscape and marketing in general. Marketers and branders talk about the TikTok effect, but I even talk about it with my director friends in the film world. Mm-hmm. Things are being filmed vertically in 9x16 in ways that historically never have happened. So if it's having profound effects culturally, not just from a marketing and promotional aspect. So with these changes that come with these platforms, a lot of anxiety can come into play very, very quickly. I feel free to elaborate a little bit more. I think we could just like ping pong back and forth when it comes to the kinds of anxiety that our artists are experiencing.
No, absolutely. I mean, everything that you said is spot on. I just had a friend of mine, my roommate, come up to me yesterday and he was like, did you hear about the new Instagram feed format? And I was like, oh, honey, I've known about that for simply so long. But I think that's also something, you know, that is scary for artists is that, you know, y'all don't have the time to be locked into like later.com mm-hmm. and looking at all this stuff all the time. And so when these changes come, they can feel really sudden and really like jarring to all mm-hmm. of a sudden, you know, overnight go from this typical feed structure that you're used to now, you know, video being the complete focus on Instagram. And I know I talk a lot about Instagram, but I think it's because it's a great example for what we're talking about today. And it's where we've seen a lot of the shifts happen this year and in the past like year and a half, 2 years. So it causes a lot of yearning for like the good old days. That's something that we see a lot with our artists is that, you know, they're constantly thinking about, you know, well, it used to be like this and it was, you know, the platform was really great when it was like this. Which I think is just, you know, human nature to want to do that, to like want to glorify and like idealize the past. But in reality, like there's some really great, I mean, the way that Instagram is now with video content and reels, there's some really great upsides to that. Like the fact that organic reach is back. 2 years ago, you know, your posts were barely being shown to anybody if they didn't follow you and it was all kind of pay to play. And this has really opened up the floodgates for people to grow their audience organically again and just like get in front of new people again without having to pay. It just takes those little adjustments, which I think is really important to see kind of the opportunity in that.
Absolutely. And I do want to stress something. Andre and I both empathize with the artist positions. And I definitely empathize. Like, I'm technically a geriatric millennial, I think is what I read in an article. I'm only 35 years old, but that makes me like an older millennial, which is hilarious. But I remember when Instagram came out. And I remember what Facebook used to be like in 2011 and 2012 when the organic, if you just created a Facebook page, was super high. And I remember Vine, and I remember Bitly, and I remember Tumblr when Tumblr was really cool. And like Tumblr's having a weird resurgence recently, which I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But like I've been paying attention to all these platforms because I always saw these places as new mediums where people can share their experience and share their story. But like these are tools that didn't exist 20 years ago. And we have this tendency to kind of demonize new things and changes on these
Totally.
platforms because we get so used to our own experiences on them. And like with Instagram specifically, we all liked sharing photos, and it used to be a photo sharing app. And this is something that Andrea and I have said again to the artists a bunch of times, but the head of Instagram has come out recently and said, hey, we're no longer a photo sharing app. We are an entertainment and video app now. So that means that that change is just going to start dominoing a bunch of
Totally.
Things throughout the app and how people are going to consume content there, because put it bluntly, TikTok is coming for the lunch, and they need to be able to be a little bit more relevant and also just follow where culturally the attention is going. People
Totally.
Want something that is a bit more real, a bit more process oriented, a bit more relatable, because we all have seen how things are made and we see the perfect end result, which I think is still important, still needed. You should definitely still edit if you're making it, writing a book, or if you're creating an illustration for Google, it should look really good and obviously accomplish all the goals. But when it comes to sharing that work, the gates are far more open
Totally.
For interpretation in regards to what's going to be meaningful currently on the platform.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that really touches on our next point as well about like high taste level and perfectionism. But in terms of, I want to touch on something else that Caitlin said, like in terms of just how anxiety inducing these changes could be. Yeah, we totally relate to that. I remember when Caitlin came on and was like, you should start making reels for the Closer and Closer Instagram account. I was so scared. In that moment, I wanted to say no so badly. I wanted to be like, maybe not. Like, maybe we hire an intern and they can do that, because like, I don't want to do it. Like, it was scary. And it used to take me, like, I'm not kidding, 3 hours to make one reel, because I was just so anxious about like the new format and not knowing what to do and like feeling, you know, not really understanding the platform for what it is. Like, it was horrible. I hated it. So I totally identify with that feeling of being like, you know, this is something new and it's scary and I don't like it and I don't want to do it. And I think I can say, like, from my own experience, that the only way, really, to get over this hurdle is to force yourself to do it. Like, I think I was in a really great position for that, because this is my job and I had to do it. I couldn't just say no. I had to say yes to do my job well. There was no way around that.
Yeah.
But, like, it really has gotten so much easier and I've started to enjoy it so much more. And that's really, like, for me, I don't know if you have a different opinion, Caitlin, but for me, when I was sitting here thinking, like, okay, what is the solution to this problem? And, like, what is a way that people can go over this hurdle? Seriously, the only thing I could think of is just doing it. Like, just getting it done doing it over and over, and it'll get less uncomfortable and it'll get easier.
Yeah, well, I think what you're really touching on there is that what we talked about, from not just from like an anxiety standpoint, but that human discomfort of doing something new.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, like, we look at even the artists on our roster and we go, like, you guys are at the top of the pile.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are literally, people look up to you and the work that you do. And that is something that is like unbelievably cool. Like, it's very impressive, but there's still imposter syndrome there. There's still perfectionism there. There's still the feeling of, like, that cringy feeling of, like, I don't want to put my face on the camera. I like the work and I like what I draw and I like what I create, but I don't want to, like, put myself out there in that way, because that's, like, ugh. It's just
icky.
That general feeling of yuck. But you are 1,000% right that the only way of getting over that icky feeling is to actually do the process of doing the work. There's this really great quote by Seth Godin where he talks about the process ultimately is the prize.
Yeah.
And like that process of doing that work, it's the same when it comes to like the act of like creating an illustration for a company or whatever kind of artwork or creation that you're making. That work, there's a process there. The same thing applies when it comes to promoting that work or sharing that work. There's a process there that you can go about, but like our tendencies are to kind of like demonize the unknown part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you felt it, like you said, when it comes to creating the reels for the first time, it took you 3 hours. I'd wager now you could probably churn out in 3 hours a whole lot more than
lot
you could
more.
Back then.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it's, I just want to encourage everybody listening that, like, whether it's, you know, marketing or social media or it's something else that you don't like doing or that scares you about freelancing, like, the only way to get over that hurdle is just to do it. And the more that you do it, the more comfortable you'll get. So that's really all I have to say on that.
Oh, but the final point that I want to talk about this, I do think also, I know we're talking just about the anxiety here, but I also want to talk about the opportunity here. Mm-hmm. With the internet and these social platforms and everything that exists here, one of the things that I brought up recently with the artists on the roster is like, if you zoom out, this stuff didn't exist. And this actually is something that is a huge opportunity. Even my own parents couldn't have started either a side hustle or an art career or like start getting hired for their passion projects or things that they ultimately wanted to do when they were young because they didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
There's an entire, like everyone has the internet now. And like you can demonize it or you can look at it as something as an opportunity. And I very much try to remind people, like, zoom out. Like, look at this thing as a tool. And if it becomes something that is taking over your life, obviously put your mental health first.
Unless you're a marketer. Then let it take over your life.
Well, that's a different podcast discussion that we could go into later. But I like to remind people to zoom out because, like, this is actually something that you can use to improve your situation and actually pursue your dreams. Like, this is, there's no gatekeepers anymore. Yeah. Everybody has access to the internet. And hopefully the internet will remain free and remain open and remain possible. But while it is, like, I'm like, people need to seize this opportunity because it can change your life. And we do hear that from artists. The ironic part is, like, most of them are like, oh, yeah, Instagram changed my career.
Yeah.
And now that Instagram's changing, they're like, no! Because it literally helped them arrive. Now they now have to evolve, much like everybody has had to do throughout history.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Change will always be slightly painful. Adapting will always be a little painful, but it's always pretty much in your best interest to do it. So just do it. Just absolutely. Do it. Nike, don't come for us. Okay. Point number two, which I think we started to touch on, and I think that this one and the last one are very much intertwined. They're just like slightly different sides of the same coin. I think that's the saying. But the hurdle number two that we're going to touch on today is the high taste level that freelancers and artists and anybody that like has perfected a craft has. It's that perfectionism. So many artists on our roster are perfectionists. They want everything that they put out there to be perfect, to be completely finished, to be something that they're super, super proud of. On Instagram, I really see this manifesting as like only wanting to post finished work, like not wanting to talk about their process, even like not posting half of the projects that they finish because it's like quote unquote not good enough. It's something that really common that I see with the artists and that I think holds a lot of people back because times are changing. Kaiten, I know you talk about this a lot, so I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts when it comes to perfectionism. And at the end of the day, even with the things that I say, I really am trying to encourage people. I'm definitely not trying to knock them down.
Totally.
Perfectionism to me is just like insecurity with lipstick on.
Yeah.
I want to hide and not step out. Because you can call something, it's like, when you say it's not perfect to your standards, you're putting a judgment on this thing before the world has had a chance to even interact with it or mm-hmm. see it or give their a thought about what it possibly could be.
Totally.
And this can happen in any shape or form, whether you're putting out writing, whether you're going on a first date, whether you're going, like we have these ideas of what things need to be before they're actually real. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the biggest harm you can do to yourself is judge it before people or you have had the chance to see it realized in the world. So don't judge yourself or don't judge this thing that you're making before the world has had a chance to interact with it. And then also once it's out there, be confident enough in the process of that act of sharing. Now, even if you get a bunch of trolls commenting on it saying they're garbage, there are still going to be voices out there that you respect, love, look up to, etc., that will give you an actually good feedback on the thing that it is that you're sharing with the world. And that's the really, really good thing about that, like cyclical part of sharing is mm-hmm. when you're sharing these work, like, you will get real-time feedback on the things that you want input on. And if you're paying attention to the right voices, I think you can actually get really good insights and how to improve the work that you're putting out into the world. Because you might have an idea of what's perfect, but perfect is subjective.
Absolutely.
It's completely subjective and it's really personal subjective.
No, I think that's so true. And I think something else that I want to touch on when it comes to perfectionism is that I think at some point, like we had this idea, and it, again, it was like 2 years ago when Instagram really hit that peak of like, you know, the influencer model where like everything was really highly curated and like everything was, you know, like shiny and perfect and beautiful. That we thought that that was what people wanted, which is really interesting to me because, you know, now we spend a lot of our time telling our artists like things are changing. People want like authenticity. People want this. People want that. And I think that has always been the case and something that I've like talked to some of our artists with bigger platforms like David Milan and this other artist, Sean Tolgetsky, who used to be on our roster. They both have like very big followings. They had some of the biggest followings on the roster. And I asked them, you know, how did you grow to this point? Because obviously, like, that's really aspirational. And we want all of our artists to be at that point where, you know, they have really big followings and they're really influential. And they're like, you know, people are paying attention to what they're doing. And something that I found so interesting is that they both said that they just started sharing as they started learning a skill. So like David Milan, for example, is a hand letterer. And he was like, I just started sharing my hand lettering as I was learning it. And like every time that I would learn a new skill, I would just post about it, even though like it wasn't even good. That's what he said. He was like, it wasn't even good. And people really responded to that. And same with Sean. Sean said a very similar thing and was like, you know, I started this, I think it was a personal project, and I was just testing out new techniques and new things. And it, you know, it was just a process of learning that I started sharing, and people have always resonated with that. And I think we forgot that like about 2 years ago again, when things were like so perfect and shiny and beautiful on Instagram. But like, that's really always what these platforms have been about, is just like sharing and learning from each other and having those connections. And it's really hard to connect with something that, you know, you like have no idea how it came to be. And it just is this perfect thing. And you're like, okay, well, that's great. You know, there's nothing you can say to that. And like nothing that, it doesn't feel as real and as genuine and authentic and something that you can connect and relate to as like somebody who's sharing their process or like sharing the person behind the work. And yeah, I think it's always been like that. And I think it's important to remember that like nobody wants to see just like the finished work. Like that's great and it's beautiful and you should keep sharing it, obviously, like keep putting it up.
Of course.
But you need that context of like the person and the process to really like make it shine and to show its value, because that's another thing.
Well, it's also what clients want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, we get actual data, not like qualitative, quantitative.
Yeah.
Real data from the Apples of the world, the Disneys of the world, different SaaS brand services, softwares. Like, they all actually want to know the person that they're hiring. So to make sure that the person behind the art aligns with their campaign objectives or their business objectives or their brand objectives. They want that person to actually align so that it's true, because people have been marketed to for a long time now. I mean, like I grew up in the 90s, and like the commercials like are nostalgic to me still to this day. And like that was before the onset of the internet, where I think the average person now is consuming like something like 5,000 advertisements a day.
Ridiculous.
Which is like wild to even, I don't even remember looking at that, but I kind of believe it at
things.
This point. Yeah, but the other thing around this is like, if you are still hooked into this idea of perfectionism and this idea that it has to be perfect, you are also causing a disruption in the connection that could be associated with what you were talking about, was sharing something from a process perspective.
Absolutely.
David Milan grew because he was sharing authentically in his journey. We all want that. I could see how some of my favorite writers started their career and they were sharing some of their rough drafts and sharing how they started that entire thing, I would absolutely consume that content, because I see them as this gold standard. But imagine if artists could see, like how Basquiat or someone like Jackson Pollock started their process.
Absolutely.
Like, if you could see back in the day and they were sharing like how they were learning about going it, everybody would consume that content, because it's fascinating to see how someone like grows into their craft. And we tend to like not hide those things because we feel scared, and we're
Yeah.
scared that someone's going to judge us, or we're insecure about X, Y, or Z. Yeah. So we could rant about this, I think, for hours. But
Absolutely.
we should probably.
We really could. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on. But that is something that, like, we really want to encourage you guys. We talk to our artists about this all the time, is like, just post your process and like post the things that maybe are a little bit ugly or that you're not 100% about. And you can even talk about that. Like, say, hey, I wasn't a big fan of this color palette. Like, what would you do with it? And really, like, that will give you so many more points for connection than you probably have right now. So,
oh, sorry, one last thing.
Yeah, go for it.
With that point. Yeah, so that reminded me of, like, the taste level.
Yeah.
So every artist has a certain level of taste.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. There's a guy that does This American Life. I can't remember his name. He hosts the podcast, but he talks about your taste level is always going to be higher than your skill level.
Mm-hmm.
And if your taste level is super high and you are actually a master of your craft, like an illustrator, animator, designer, the things that you make and share on social media are not going to be on the same level as what
Nope.
your final perfect piece is going to be. That's actually okay. But the cool thing is that skill set that made you a master illustrator, for instance, can translate into how you end up sharing your work.
Absolutely.
So we encourage people to actually like tie that process back to you, because it will be true. And eventually you might actually become like, you might be just as skilled at sharing your work as you are at creating your work, which would change your entire career entirely.
Absolutely.
And that's actually what we're trying to do, is like, hey, we're not trying to make you an influencer. You're already a creator. You're already
yeah.
an artist. We're just trying to show the world more of that.
Exactly.
And equip you with the tools so that you can share more of that with the world.
Exactly. Totally agree. I love it. We'll leave it there.
Cool.
Let's move on to the last one, which
All right.
is hopefully going to be the easiest, because I think this is one that, again, you
yes.
just have to buckle down and do, but it's lack
yes.
of routine.
Oh my God, yeah.
Again, something I've realized since I started working with commercial artists, like 2 years ago now, which is crazy, is that type A artists are extremely few and far between. And I say this
oh, yes.
as a type A person, but I think we maybe have like 3 on our roster of 50 of artists
maybe.
That like
yeah.
genuinely are type A people. And yeah, like a big challenge for artists that I've noticed is just finding discipline and routine within their practice. You know, yeah, anything that...
You mean sharing their practice, discipline and sharing that, yeah.
Yeah, 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 discipline and routine and sharing their practice. And I think, again, like anything that requires consistency that may not be as enjoyable as creating, it's a lot more difficult to kind of find that discipline and routine and practice. Again, that's like marketing, even emails, budgeting, like some of the stuff that we take on for our artists, a lot of the issue is like it's not creating, and like that's what they want to do. And so it's hard to kind of find a routine with that stuff.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the routine is key, because like as someone that is extremely ADHD and extremely like all over the place, I need routine
mm-hmm.
or else life gets chaotic. And I would venture to say that the artists in the world naturally sit at a spot where they feel chaotic, because
mm-hmm.
the act of creating can feel crazy.
Totally.
But all chaos needs some kind of structure. And if you provide structure, that chaos can actually thrive. And I think the work itself becomes more predictable for the artists,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily for the people that are going to end up viewing that work or consuming that work or witnessing that work or even paying for that work. I think that routine can actually help the artist and the individual find clarity for their own voice in their
mm-hmm.
acts of sharing. And if they build routines that are beneficial to them, even like simply like it, when it comes to sharing your work, like, hey, on Wednesdays, I post a process video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. I every Wednesday, I know I have to do that. So throughout the week, then you can squirrel away ideas or screen recordings or process shots that you took of like your finished piece that you screen printed. All those kinds of things can just be squirreled away from the Wednesdays, because that's when I share them.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we encourage our artists to do a little bit more than just share it once a week. But the reality is, like, if you build these routines and habits, it becomes a lot like just your bookkeeping. No one
Totally.
Would ever question the fact that you want to make sure that your invoices are coming in on time, that they're going out on time, and that you're getting paid for your work. I look at this as just as vital, because if you want to grow your career and get attract even larger clients, they need to know that you are trustworthy and reliable and predictable and can actually be there. Part of that process is like, oh, hey, on Wednesdays, they share their process.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually, that becomes another step in the ladder, if you will, totally. Of your career, because you know you have a predictable process that people are going to be able to relate to and trust.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think it was interesting at the beginning hearing you talk, because this is a conversation that we just had with our artist in a presentation. I think the team that we were talking to asked, like, what is the best way to get a brief? Like, do you like having a little bit more wiggle room? Do you not? And it was so interesting to hear the artist's response, because they all responded and said, like, I actually work better within constraints, and it allows me to be more creative because I have that, like, Caton described it as like the sandbox to play in. Like, they have the box and it allows them to be more creative and more free. And I think that's so true about aspects of freelance life outside of just like the creative stuff. Like Caton said, the marketing, like having that box and knowing that you're going to have to do something, you know, knowing that you're going to get your work out there no matter what, like in that routine will allow you to kind of play around so much more and just like get hopefully a little bit more joy out of it than you would if like every single day, because you don't have a routine, you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I need to post today. I need to figure out what to post. I need to figure out what I'm going to put out there because like I don't have any finished work. And like, what am I going to do?
Oh my gosh.
What gonna do? Because that's something that our artists run into a lot, like having that routine and knowing, okay, I'm going to need something to post by Wednesday and it's not going to be a finished piece. It's got to be something different. Allows you just so much more room and space to think about it and like not constantly be in that frenzied state where you're feeling bad about yourself for not posting.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, Andre and I don't think either of us would ever say, we just want you to make something to make something.
Oh,
or we don't,
yeah.
We just want you to post something to post something. Like, the reality is that's like very counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough noise out there. Like,
totally.
there's enough content being churned out on the internet already.
Yeah.
We are not of the mind that we want you to make something just for the sake of making something.
Just to post on Instagram.
There's an asterisk there, because I do believe that the act of creating in any form is actually a good thing.
Totally.
Set that to the side. When it comes to just posting on Instagram, we want people to like, hey, how can you do this in a way that is true to you?
Mm-hmm.
How can you do this in a way that's true to the audience that you're trying to provide value for? Like, how can you make something for these platforms that is actually tied to where you're trying to go with your career? And by the way, the more that you actually put that point in the future outside of yourself, I think it's actually better.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that you want to create illustrations for some of the biggest companies in the world and be known for that, you should definitely be thinking about that audience when you're making that and what would they want to see out there. And the cool thing about these social media platforms and even Instagram with Reels these days is you can test it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a piece of content, share it, and then see the responses in real time, what people think. And then you can make another one based off of those responses, and you can create a little feedback loop for yourself. Could you imagine if you were in the 50s and you had to like make an art, like write an article and put it out there, or like you created a piece of artwork that's going to be in some creative print, and the lag in feedback of the world to you would have taken months.
Absolutely.
And you wouldn't actually have this real time, like, oh, hey, do people like this or do people not like this? That feedback time is non-existent now. It's like, I literally posted like, well, did it work or not?
Yep.
And the cool thing is some things that you might think didn't work, if it lives long enough on your page, you might discover does work at a different time. We've
totally.
Seen that with different artists, like a resurgence of some of their older videos or some of their older content. Like, they can reshare it in new formats and it gets a new audience because they're still evolving as artists. And that,
mm-hmm.
even that is a good thing, I'd say.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I think that is key. And I think, you know, for this like lack of routine, kind of difficulty integrating this into your routine, like that's such a big thing that Caton mentioned, is like, you want this to be a part of your existing creative routine. You do not want
Absolutely.
To have to like, you know, be like, have this be an entirely different thing. And I think that's when a lot of artists run into trouble, is when they're like, okay, well, now I have to create this completely new piece and I have to record the whole thing and it's going to take me hours because I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I have to set aside time to do this. for the most part, I don't want y'all setting aside any time to do this. I want you getting used to recording your everyday. And something that we tell our artists is, like, even if you need to take like 2 weeks, just remembering to pull out your phone while you're working, like, don't, not even posting anything, just like remembering to pull out your phone, document your process. That's fine. Take those 2 weeks to get used to that, because once it is a built-in part of your creative process, and, like, you know, you get a new job, you start recording the process, and that's just automatic. It'll make it so much easier for you, and you'll have that ability to be like, okay, now that this has worked into my routine, I can start putting stuff out there.
Absolutely. I think if the biggest artists in the world are beholden to marketing, any artist in the world is going to be beholden to marketing. I mean, I look at, like, you know, even some of, like, the biggest actors in the world, for instance. The Rock's on TikTok. Ryan Reynolds is on TikTok. Like, I mean, like, the biggest people that are trying to do things in the world are doing them for very intentional reasons, because they are building their own audiences so that they can leverage that to get paid what they deserve for their craft. Totally. And, like, that's where I go, like, this is an opportunity for artists across the internet. And is it easy? Is it fair? Is it always consistent? God, no.
No.
Yes, there's obviously a ton of learning, and it takes a lot of work. We're not blind to those facts, but the reality is there's also still a huge amount of opportunity. It doesn't mean that you're going to make millions of dollars because you started sharing your process on Instagram, but the reality is, like, you could actually build an audience that could support you as an artist on these platforms, like a decent living. And I'm saying, like, again, millions of dollars, but you could make 80 grand pretty easily if you find a strong enough audience that's willing to support your artwork. That didn't exist 20 years ago.
Nope.
Like, you had to have a patron. You had to have someone that was supporting you and paying you to, like, do all of this artwork by yourself. Like, that just, now you can build your own, which I think, and the reality is you only need like 1,000 true fans, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Like, people that are willing to support you in some small way. And by the way, there's even more tools that we haven't even mentioned. We're just talking about the marketing aspect.
Yeah. But,
like, you can build your own audience and have a Patreon. You can build products for them. You can educate them on how to do what they want to do ultimately. I mean, like, there's just so many opportunities.
Absolutely.
When it comes to sharing the work here. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's a great place to kind of let off, because, I mean, yeah, he just summarized it perfectly. You know, this, getting this to be a part of your routine, getting over these hurdles is really just such a huge opportunity for freelancers that we want them to take by the reins. And I think now is the time. Again, this is something I tell our artists all the time. These moments of change and these moments of uncertainty on socials and marketing are really the biggest opportunity moments for you all to get your foot in the door and to just kind of, like, take the bull by the horns. I think that's the saying. And run with it.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to ask before we wrap up, and, like, there's those people that are listening to this. One of the, we would love feedback. And one of the things that we would, in general, if there's, like, issues or topics that you guys would like to cover, even when it comes to the artists that we're going to be featuring on the roster, please send us an email. I mean, you can email Andrea or I directly. Our email's on our website. You can also reach out to hello@closerandcloser. There's 1,000 different ways that you could get a hold of us. Come follow us on Instagram at Closer and Closer. But, like, the reality is we're on TikTok too. But with all of these, we ultimately are trying to provide as much value to our artists at the end of the day. And we also know that if we provide value to the freelancers that are out there in the world, it's going to affect the same roster. We want to help everybody, like, be fulfilled in their career and grow ultimately. And if you've got something that you would love to hear from us and that we could help you with, we want to know about it. So please send us a message, reach out to us, send us an email. Andrea, I know you've gotten some emails recently that have made your day from listeners that have been really wonderful, but we actually want to provide as much value as possible. And I'll go ahead and say this now as, like, a little tidbit of preview. We also are probably going to end up changing the podcast just a little. We're not going to go crazy here, but we're probably going to come out with, like, a season two or something, a new approach, because we want to continue to raise the bar as a company and raise the bar as a team. And we want to continue to, like I said, provide as much value as possible with these different mediums, especially on this podcast. So we're open to the feedback and we want to improve it. Let us know if you found this one valuable for you.
Love it. Thank you, Caton. And you guys know, marketing@closerandcloser.co. Shoot us an email.
Sweet. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Andrea. This is the first one.
Thanks for being here. We'll have you back soon.
Wait.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co. If you're a fan of the Closer and Closer podcast, then you're probably a fan of the Closer and Closer roster too. Spending an hour of your day with them is fun, but did you know there's an even better way to keep up with everything our roster's up to? Sign up for our weekly newsletter, The Dose, to get fresh inspiration from our artists every single week, along with email notifications every time we upload a new episode and exclusive freebies from time to time. Head to the show notes to get signed up and stay in the loop.